Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast. I'm Jessica Trotter, and I'm joined by Cheryl Lindemann and Mari Garza. Hey, ladies.
Hello.
And we're your primary selection team here at Cattle. It's Black History Month. The Michigan Notable Books and the Library Awards were all announced last month. There's a lot coming out. There's a lot going on in books right now. And we are trying to keep up, I think. I don't know if it always works.
Yeah, it's tough. It seems like a lot of things that were supposed to come out at the end of last year were postponed, and they are coming this spring. So it's exciting, but there's just a lot
being released too. I mean,
we're
in that kind of time where it's just going to pick up, but still there's a lot of neat stuff coming out.
There is stuff that we're waiting for.
There is definitely that.
Yeah. And definitely a lot of books that I'm on hold for. Like they're already here, but there's just so many holds.
We continue to try to kind of manage things coming from vendors, things getting through our system, and things getting out to patrons. It's going to be a issue for a while, but we're working on it.
Yeah, definitely. And we're noticing that our members, our listeners here, are placing holds. Our holds are growing.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting.
Very definitely. I'm so happy that they're getting things. Because it is hard. It's hard not being able to come in and browse a library.
Yeah, absolutely. It is.
I feel that way. I want to be able to browse a library.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like it's easier to go inside than to spend time on the website and kind of, you know, doing your different search methods. And I don't know, there's something about browsing that is very relaxing.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes.
And there's so much that you just miss. You need that visual for it. Yeah. So.
And the serendipity of just, you know, what's on the shelf that day or, you know, Yep. I miss that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Someday we'll get there.
It's coming. We're getting closer.
Where do we want to start? I think Black History Month.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and hopefully not totally gobble this conversation. But I want to talk about the book, The ABCs of Black History. It's by Rio Cortez, and it's illustrated by Lauren Sommer. I hope I'm pronouncing names correctly. And I have to say that this book was so much more than I expected. It's like a picture book, nonfiction book. And I was thinking it would be kind of a collection of notable people in Black history. And I will say, you know, there's definitely a lot of mention of, like, you know, who the Shakers and Movers were. It was really more so packed with concepts and vocabulary that points to Black activism and just the pride of being part of the African-American experience. And in many ways, it read like a spoken word, you know, type of poetry.
Very cool
book. It's beautiful, beautiful. I mean, and speaking of beautiful, I'm quoting here, B is for beautiful. I'm talking to you, your voice, your height, your hair, your hue. B is for brave, for bright, and for bold. For those who stood up even when they were told to step back, stand down, remember their place. And that's just a little bit of what's on the page.
Okay, I want that now.
Yeah. The section for D refers to diaspora, which is one of those, you know, vocabulary words that for me personally, I think is a perfect word for kindergartners to third graders to get a hold of. You know, we get to think about what it means for people to have moved away from their home countries and, you know, be expected to set up a new home community. And that word, you know, it goes for so many different contexts, but it was just a really awesome book about the many different facets of African-American history, Black history. The section on G, you know, talked about the great migration of African-Americans heading to different places to find a better life. L, you know, referred to Mildred Loving, just one of the many persons referred to in under the letter L. And she, of course, is a woman who married a white man. And for a long time, she was, you know, considered as living illegally. And this went all the way to the Supreme Court before her marriage was recognized as valid. Now, I know, I feel like for maybe most of our listeners, even, and definitely for you two, you might, you know, think that's, I knew that, but a lot of my friends, they don't know that part of U.S. history. And I was blown away.
I'm a loving child, so.
How many, you know, nuggets of truth and celebration and, you know, in some ways, certainly a lot of ways, painful recognition and declaration of Black history, which is really United States of America history.
Right.
Involved, you know, she ends, or towards the end anyway, she talks about you, United States, the story is tough, the birth of a nation that was deadly for us, we the people in the land of the free, no one who was enslaved would agree. And that is rough to read, but there's so much more celebration. So I just, you know, outstanding, bravo for our Rio Cortez. She's, I believe, like a Harlem-based writer and poet. I mean, in New York somewhere.
Okay.
I love this book, and I think it would make a great addition to any family's library because it was just so broad, and it helped me to consider the many different aspects of Black history, and it obviously does not include everything. There's just so much, and at the beginning of my my talk here, I was expecting the book to learn, you know, to be able to learn more about notable people in Black history. And I will say that there were definitely mentions of people, you know, I had not known about Dr. Daniel Hale Williams. He's the first doctor to open a hospital with integrated staff. I'm not sure if I'm going to say her name correctly, because it's Mikia Corbett. Do you guys know who that is?
No.
No.
A present day scientist who studied COVID, and she was on the first team to test a possible vaccine.
Okay.
There's just a lot here. So anyway, I hope you get a hold of this book. We've got a lot of copies in the system. Beautiful, beautiful book. It's going to give you ideas to, you know, do some of your own research for other concepts, other people that are mentioned in the book. So
excellent. Well, I checked that book out. I have just picked it up, Madi, based on your recommendation in an internal library newsletter, and recommended it to our school librarian and our teacher. So,
okay, great.
Yeah, have these books in our libraries, our school libraries, our schools. That's the next step, which I think is wonderful. Your book kind of leads a bit into mine. This was one of the Caldecott honor books this year. And I haven't gotten a hold of all of those yet, but I did get this one right away. It was called Me and Mama, written and illustrated by Cosby A. Cabrera. And this is beautifully illustrated with paintings. I don't know if they're acrylic paintings or oil. They're just absolutely gorgeous. And this is one of those books where the text is like poetry, but it could be with the text, but the pictures are so beautiful. It could almost be a wordless book. You know, it works both ways so well. And I looked at a little video interview with the author, and she talked about this being an ode to the everyday. And one of the things that kind of came up in the three books that I'm going to talk about today, and this book really fits this, is the theme that seems to emerge with the three titles that I have are uncovering and telling the stories of Black women. And two of them are about Black motherhood in particular. And this one is about really this tender, just a day between a mother and her child. And it, you know, starts out with waking up and the smells of the house, there's oatmeal baking and cinnamon. And it's told from the perspective of the child. And it's this day of, you know, eating and going outside and enjoying favorite objects and then bedtime. And even though her father's in the story and her sister and her dog are in the story, it's really just the story between her and her mother that day and about how she just wants to be right at the side of her mother and about exploring nature and just those really simple everyday moments between a parent and a child, in this case, a mother and a child. It's stunning. And I read it to my daughter, who still enjoys listening to picture books, and it is very much kid approved. Stamp on this one.
I want to mention it's also a 21 Caldecott Honor book.
Yes, Caldecott Honor, yes. And she, and we read this huge stack of wonderful books, and my daughter said, I like that one the best. And it reminded her of that bond that we have. So it's just a beautiful, gorgeous book. I really loved it. So that was one of my picks for this year. What do you have today, Jessica?
I've got a couple of picks from the adult collection. One of them I had the honor of interviewing Rebecca Carroll, who's putting out a sort of a debut memoir called Surviving the White Gaze.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those, it's as someone navigating my own biracial roots, this was really fascinating and really tough. It's a tough read. Rebecca Carroll has distinctly problematic childhood. I mean, her relationship with her mother is remarkably unhealthy. And she, it's looking at her years trying to find her Black identity. Her mother is white, her father was Black. She was adopted into an all-white family, but they knew her mother, and her mother does meet her mother just ahead of middle school. And it's sort of her mother kind of undermines and manipulates her for years. Mm. And it's a very intimate and painful journey, but it's also kind of take the painful side of it out. It's also a really interesting exploration of race and relationships and, you know, finding a chosen family and sort of finding your place that resonated with me. It's one of those things, if you like, I talked about Black Indian by Shonda Buchanan on a previous podcast, but also Roxane Gay. These are, you know, it's that kind of really tough but well done introspective.
Yeah.
Story. So that was, it just came out, I think last week. And it's just one of those things that I would suggest people pick up. It's an interesting look at trying to figure yourself out with interesting and painful triggers kind of going on outside, you know, that you really are, you know, everybody has to find their place in the world, but it is particularly interesting from my point of view, trying to navigate ethnicities, cultures, and it's interesting. It's a very interesting take on it.
Oh, sounds really good. I remember reading that review when I purchased that one. It sounded really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. She's a really good writer, and she's a very great speaker too. The other one I wanted to talk about, totally different vibe, absolutely totally different vibe, and I'm just really happy it's being published. It's actually the first of a new cozy series. yeah. It's called A Glimmer of Death by Valerie Wilson Wesley. If you are not familiar with her name, I really want everybody to get familiar. Back in the 90s, there was a small push to try. There was a very small group of Black female mystery writers who kind of broke through and were actually on with the big publishers. Needless to say, publishing is fickle and they got dropped, but Valerie Wesley was one of those. But she's back, and she's got a great new cozy series starting. It just immediately appealed to me. It has a touch of magic to it. And it's features a recent widow who has taken her husband's death hard. They had just started a catering business. She's sort of lost her business. She's now working at a real estate agency and it's sort of shady. And also there's this weird family, not necessarily happy family dynamic within the workplace. And the boss is really volatile. And she walks in the very beginning of the book. She's sort of like, I smell nutmeg. I always associate nutmeg with death. I have no idea what's going on, but that nutmeg is getting stronger.
Uh-oh.
And all this stuff is happening. You know, there's kind of infighting. It's kind of a, everybody's having their reviews this week. And, you know, there's just stuff happening under the surface, but she's kind of the newbie. She doesn't know what else all it is. And she goes home that night, and her aunt, who also has a little bit of the sight, calls her up and says, yeah, you need to turn on the TV.
Oh.
And suddenly the nutmeg smell comes back. And come to find out, her boss has been shot.
Oh.
And there is, you know, now there's a mystery. She's nosy. She also has the sight. She also needs to protect herself because she may have seen or heard or done something that might have caught somebody's attention. So it's, I like the writing. I like the premise. I'm very curious to see where it goes. And I'm really happy that she's back up front.
Yeah.
Cause there are not a lot of minority I can think of three authors off the top of my head, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more, but really not many. And it's cool to see, you know.
Yeah. It's really cool to hear about.
Yeah. So those are my, you know, something really heavy and something really light.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of other, they're really, you know, I really like children's biographies.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like I said, you know, I'll often say it's a quick way to learn something about, you know, someone that, you know, you kind of get the highlights. And mm-hmm. as an adult reader, you know, sometimes I end up going out and, you know, getting more of the longer version of a biography from the adult collections. So one of the books I read kind of a couple weeks ago, The Dream Builder, The Story of Architect Philip Freeland. And this is by Kelly Starling Lyons, and it's illustrated by Laura Freeman. And Philip Freeland was the lead architect, or kind of, you know, behind the design team of the National Museum of African American History and Culture. This is part of the Smithsonian Institution. And I had not known his name. So when I saw that title, I was like, oh, I really want to read that. Who is he? What was he about? Well, he's passed away now, but he was someone, I can't remember exactly where he grew up. I want to say North Carolina. I know that's where he ended up doing a lot of his contemporary architectural work. But he was someone who, you know, always was really good in math, but he had trouble with reading initially. And it's this beautiful book that starts with his childhood, his family, history of his grandparents, and just the impact they made on him. He comes from a family of artists, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful book discussing, you know, just that, what I see in a lot of communities, but especially African-American communities that really value education and, you know, want to be part of the larger picture of, you know, impacting communities. So I really, really enjoyed that book. The other one, which is also illustrated by Laura Freeman, is The Highest Tribute. This is Thurgood Marshall's Life, Leadership, and Legacy. And this is by Kekla Magoon, multiple award-winning author, including, I think, Image Awards. Can't quite remember. But this, I know who Thurgood Marshall is or was, obviously, but I didn't know, like, too much about, you know, the cases and the history that led up to his becoming the first African-American on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back to 1935. He argued a case that represented Donald Murray. He was a Black man who wanted to go to the University of Maryland's law school. And at that time, that, you know, schools were not allowing integration. They were not, You know, they wanted to keep things separate. This was in 1935, long before, you know, the whole Linda Brown and Ruby Bridges case in 1954. So that was something I knew. And he won that. There was a similar case that came up in 1950, where it was about another man who wanted to attend an all-white university at the Texas Law School. And the law school there, what they had thought they would do is create like a separate law school for Black Americans. Huh. And that came down like, no, we're not going to have separate. And I was just really, really drawn to just, again, these little nuggets of history about prominent people who've made an impact in how our country is organized and how we view justice today. So those are the two there that I wanted to bring up. I have one more biography, but I haven't actually read it. So I'll wait till later to talk about that one.
Okay. We've added to my reading list again. Thank you, Monty. Mm-hmm. Speaking of award winning, the next book that I have is by Nikki Grimes, the ALA Children's Literature Legacy Award winner from ALA, and just has written so many wonderful, beautiful books. The book that I'm going to discuss today just came out in January. It's called Legacy, and it's the subtitle is The Women Poets of the Harlem Renaissance. And what this book does, again, is uncovers stories of women Harlem Renaissance poets. We don't hear about them quite as much. We maybe hear about a few, but this pulls out many, gives a poem by each, and then a really nice little biography at the end of each to read more about their lives. But then in addition to that, what Nikki Grimes does is she makes a golden shovel poem out of each one of their poems. And a golden shovel poem, maybe our listeners and the both of you know what this is, but just in case you don't, what they do is you either take the whole poem of someone, if it's a short poem, or a line from the poem. And then what you do is you make a new poem using those words from that line that you've taken out of another poem. And then you put those words in the far right margin.
Hmm.
It's easier to see. You'll probably have to pick up this book or another to actually see it in action. But it's incredible. And you can go back and look at Nikki Grimes' new poem and then go back and look at the original poem and see, oh, there it is. That's how it's created. And it looks very challenging, but she definitely rises to the challenge. And not only does this contain these really beautiful poems, but it also is illustrated by a variety of Black artists, including Cosby Cabrera, who I just talked about in the last book. So it's a beautiful book and really powerful. I would say adults would really love this, but it is marketed and geared towards older kids, 10 and up, I would say, but just an excellent, excellent book. I learned so much from this book and again, had this springboard into all these new poets that some of them I'd never heard of, including the wife of Paul Laurence Dunbar, Alice Dunbar Nelson, who has her own beautiful poems, but is not as recognized as Paul Laurence Dunbar. So on that same vein, this is a book that has just been published, the next book that I'm talking about, and has been receiving a lot of attention. It's called The Three Mothers, How the Mothers of Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, and James Baldwin Shaped a Nation. And this is by Anna Malaika Tubbs. And I have not finished this book, but it is what I have read is just, it is unbelievable. I mean, I'm really blown away by the way she is crafting this book. It's so readable. It's like the best type of narrative nonfiction where you're being pulled into the storylines of Berdus Baldwin, Louise Little, and Alberta King, and you're pulled into their lives and then how she's weaving that into the historical context of the time. It's just so powerfully done. And what the point of this book just brings up that while we know so much about these women's sons, we don't know that much about them. And she had a hard time even finding a lot of material to tell the stories, but she worked very hard to find as much as she could to flesh out the lives of these women and to show that their strength and their passions, including passions for teaching, writing, activism, James Baldwin's mother, Meredith, her love of poetry and spoken word poetry, and their faith, and how this strengthened these young men and carried them through their lives, their mother's influence. And she wants to bring that to the light, and she really does. And then just also just placing their lives in the context and the difficulties that they faced, extreme difficulties being born where they were and the lives, you know, where they came from. I just want to read one line from it. She said, "Their lives are built on faith and stories that evolve and resonate across water and land. Our story begins with the declaration that although there are countless forces acting against their lives, Louise, Alberta, and Berdis have still breathed their first breaths. They have arrived." And it is really just an incredible journey. So I can't recommend this book enough. And I know that our listeners will be hearing a lot about it for good reason this year. But it was just excellent.
Oh, good, because I'm picking it up this afternoon.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm so glad you got it. This is one of those books that was sort of stuck.
Yes. Stuck with our I was surprised.
And I was like, no, come on. So the copies are coming.
It is on the hold shelf for me right now.
I'm so happy. Good, good, good. So I think that kind of brings us to our next topic, which is Michigan and Michigan books.
Hey, speaking of Michigan, can I insert something really quick?
You can.
You mentioned Nikki Grimes. Hull Public Schools is hosting an event with Nikki Grimes and Kwame Alexander on March 4th. It's public. It's going to be on their YouTube channel, and Cattle is a sponsor too. So I just want to mention that, throw that out for March 4th. Hopefully you'll listen to this podcast before March 4th, but it's at 1:15, but you'd be able to find that on their YouTube channel, Holt Public Schools. Go ahead.
Okay. Awesome.
So yeah. As I said, lots of stuff going on, and then as part of, and it actually happened right before our last podcast, so we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but the Michigan Notable Book Awards were announced
awesome.
For 2021. And I will admit that I am on that committee, but I was really happy with the list. And it was really interesting because we've talked about a lot of the titles that made the list already on previous podcasts.
Yeah.
Things like Black Bottom Saints and Wicked Sister back in December. And I think, Cheryl and I, we both talked about the Mason House in November. I Have Something to Tell You by Chasten Buttigieg made it. I think I only teased it. I don't think I've ever actually talked about it, but Lakewood by Megan Giddings is on there. And that was the book about, it's a sci-fi fiction-ish book that really what it's examining is what would you do? What lengths would you go to help somebody in your family? But it also is looking at, you know, what do you do? How do you reckon with the experimentation that has been done on Black bodies in the past? So like the Tuskegee experiments or Henrietta Lacks' story, for example. This is a woman who takes a job where she is being experimented on because she is desperate. And it's an interesting story, but it made the list as well. But there's so many neat things, neat writing coming out of Michigan, or about Michigan. And I'm really happy to see so much of it. It all can't make the list.
No.
I'm happy with what has, but it, you know, a grand example of that for me would be, there were two great books on Aretha Franklin that came out this year. And I think, I know Monty read both of them too. One of them was, Respect, Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul by...
That was awesome. Oh, yeah.
That's by Carol Boston Weatherford and illustrated by Frank Morrison. And actually, Frank Morrison won the Greta Scott King Award for illustrator for that one. And then there was also one called A Voice Named Aretha by Catherine Russell Brown, illustrated by Laura Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Also
a great book. Laura Freeman, okay.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So
always make the connections, but because
exactly.
I see it, doesn't... Yeah.
No, exactly. So the interesting thing here is I'm not talking about the committee because that's totally different. This is just me, my opinion of, as I'm looking at these two books, they're both great, notable books.
Yeah.
They are totally different kind of takes on it in some ways. One of them, I almost boiled it down to, it's a choice between, if you had to pick between the two of them, it's a matter of what art appeals to you personally. Both great illustrators.
Yeah, I found the Carol Weatherford book like a little more rhythmic and just...
That's my second point.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's one of those...
Yeah, perfect for story time. Perfect.
Yes, that's it, exactly.
Perfect for nighttime reading. Perfect for repeated reading.
Exactly. My guess would be is why that one kind of jumped out over other, the other one. Mm-hmm. But the other one, if you've got a young reader who wants to do it on their own, that A Voice Named Aretha is a good book for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Respect really is a great read aloud.
Yes.
I mean, and it's just a different approach and, whatever art appeals to you. Yeah. They're both great books. But not everything makes the list, but,
right.
That's just one example, but, Cheryl, you had one that you wanted to talk about.
I actually had three, but I only was able to read one by this podcast. I'm looking at me from the floor.
It's time. Yes. Time works that way.
Oh yeah. It's just, it's harder than I thought. I really wanted to talk about more, but yeah, the one that I did get a chance to fully read was The Star in the Sycamore, Discovering Nature's Hidden Virtues in the Wild Nearby by Tom Springer. And this is Tom's second book that's made a Michigan Notable Book List. The first one was Looking for Hickories. And boy, this book was... I try to find a way to sum it up. It's a hard one to do that with, but I feel like in this year that we've had, this book really brings the reader, brought me really down to earth and literally and symbolically. It's just very, very earthy,
Yes.
And that's one way of trying to sum up all of it because it's a range of essays. It's not a memoir. Mm-hmm. It's not a poetry collection. It's not a prose collection. It's a range of essays, but in there, there's a bit of that memoir type writing, that type of thread, but there are also journalistic pieces that are profiles of people in Michigan, like an herbalist in Michigan, her life story, the story of a stand of maple trees that was owned by MSU that got turned into a school program for kids tapping maple. So there's a little bit of almost... not saying that's what this is, but a little under the radar Michigan vibe in those essays, a little bit of that piece of going around Michigan and profiling things, but in particular profiling things that happen in Southwest Michigan and in the Three Rivers area where the author lives. And interestingly, one of the essays is about the fact that he grew up in Three Rivers and he never left. And he sort of examines that. So what I think this book is a lot about being rooted. And yes. Even sort of looks at like, is it always good to be rooted? Should we be moving? We're getting older. This is a big place. But then talks about, he lives down the street from his brother. And they do a lot together and they have their farms. But being rooted in the farm, there's a lot here about the busyness of our lives, about how working ourselves to exhaustion and about how sometimes we're forced to slow down. That is one essay, is forced to slow down and look at the birds and force himself to slow down, but also about getting out of this environment with our computers and getting in and just working with our hands out in the garden. It's a lot about, the ills of what some of our modern conveniences, you know, what about the dangers of some of those. There's an essay about the love of a dog who ends up passing away. It really moves all around, but the thread to me is that rootedness and that rootedness in place. One of my favorite essays is about his grandparents and how they settled. They came from Germany to settle a homestead on this piece of land and create a beautiful orchard that thrived. And he had all these memories of that and the stories of their lives. But then it eventually became a gravel pit in that area. So there's just a lot of sort of poignant, but also a lot of humor. And yes. One of the things that, yeah, and the fun, it's, he writes like he's just sitting right next to you, you know? He's just like, hey, you know, I got a story to tell you. And sometimes it's going to be funny and sometimes it's going to be poignant. And sometimes it's going to be like a little bit of poetry, but other times it's going to be like, I'm telling you about this person in Michigan and what they did and the significance of that. So a lot of Michigan love in this book.
Yes.
A lot of like, yeah, it's such a Michigan book, you know, yes. for everything that means. So,
yep.
Really a pleasure. I think that's a word. And, you know, there hasn't been that much pleasure this year and a lot of things. So it was really nice to pick this one up. It's a book I'd like to give as a gift to some people who I think would really appreciate this and so appreciate that rootedness. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say grounded and grounding.
Yeah, I guess
would kind of come to mind. And I will honestly say, as I was reading this book, I was thinking, Cheryl, I wonder what Cheryl would think of this. This makes me think of Cheryl.
Well, then, yeah. And there's a lot about ecosystems. He doesn't get real heavy handed about it, but it comes through a lot about ecosystem collapses and the effects of what we do to our environment. And that it's, again, it's not knocking you in the face with that message, but it's there and it keeps coming through about preserving that. And it gives us like everybody can do what he does, not necessarily write these essays, but look outside and appreciate just
yes.
right there. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just appreciating that ordinary.
There are things that just stuck with me too. I mean, can't remember even honestly what essay it's in, but there's that the trip to the barn in the evening and watching the stars. I mean, that sort of scene stuck with me.
Yes.
Thinking of a picture book in the making. I love that.
Yeah. And he had this dog. This would be a perfect picture book actually, but he had a dog that did not want to live in the house at night.
Oh, and that's it was walking him out to the barn.
Yes. So every night he brings him out to the barn and he has to sleep in this, you know, little hay in a stall. And then, you know, when the dog passes, you know, what happens to that tradition and
right.
how that, yeah. So it's really honest. Just a really, I don't know. It's unique. It's a really special book. So I'm glad to see it on the list and I'm glad I read it. And I recommend it for somebody who loves nature, loves nature writing, loves Michigan, loves travel Michigan type shows or books, because there is that piece of it. Lots of little treasures in this and it has such a range. It can be, it's a little challenging to sum up.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's also, it's one of those books where it starts in winter and it goes all the way through to Thanksgiving.
Yes. So
it has that nice cycle and some beautiful woodcuts illustrations too through it. That's pretty neat. Neat too. Yeah.
One other one I wanted to bring up just because I really loved it. Mari, I'm blanking on where the story first short story came from, but the book is Isaiah Dunn Is My Hero.
Oh yeah.
By Kelly J. Baptist.
Did I talk about that one recently? I think I did. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it or not. I didn't have it on my list.
But it did make the list.
And in some ways it's one of those things where it's such a Michigan book, but I don't think it ever says it's set in Michigan.
No, it does not. Because I looked for that. I'm like, is it in St. Joseph or not? And I'm like,
no. And the thing is, she dedicated it to the students of St. Joe.
Yeah.
I just think it's an important book, no matter what. Isaiah has just lost his father. His mother is sort of spinning in depression. She's drinking too much. He's there, you know, I think they've just moved into a low rent motel because they've can't afford rent otherwise. And he's just sort of trying to figure out how to make it work, how to be the man of the house. He used to be a writer and he can't get himself around to writing. He's sort of depending on this journal of his father's that he has. Mm-hmm. But it's just sort of, I just loved that book.
Yeah. And I liked how he really sees that journal as a connection to his father.
Yes.
And a way to remember him and to remember his stories and the love that his father had for him. His, you know, father wrote about him as like a little superhero. Yeah,
exactly.
And the author, Kelly Baptist, she wrote, I think, it was a short story that showed up in Flying Lessons and other stories.
I can remember with the paper plane. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So she expanded it a bit, but that was a beautiful, beautiful. And I have to put this in here. One of the reasons I really like the book too, is the connection to the library that I
see. Yes.
He was always in the library.
Oh,
someone reaching out
to him. The librarian was really important to him.
Yes. And you know, I could picture this because I know what program rooms are in a library building.
Yeah.
And you know, they had events for aspiring writers and things. It was just a beautiful, beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that book is on the list.
Yes. So, and it's always interesting getting to see, kind of through working at the committee, see the wide range of Michigan books coming through. There's a lot of great books. There's just so many. Yeah. But it is one of those things, like, how do you boil it down to 20 books?
Yeah.
It's painful. That's how. It's painful.
Yeah.
Right.
A
great list, though.
I think this was a really good list this year. I was really happy.
Cool. Very cool. I'm glad you participated in that, because I learned a lot of books from you, Jessica.
It makes for interesting times, yes. So what, we are kind of coming around to a close. What, anybody want to talk about what they're reading now or looking forward to? I kind of want to say looking forward isn't the right phrase, but since we've been talking about Carol Weatherford, she has a new book coming, or is out, called Unspeakable, The Tulsa Race Massacre. Again,
yes.
Looking forward to is kind of a weird way of putting it.
Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But yeah,
I thought about talking about that book, but I feel sometimes like I'm just really obsessed with that event in history. So I didn't want to bring it up, but I haven't read it yet, but I'm really excited to read it because, again, I feel very strongly that enough of us don't know about American history. Black history is American history.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And to have such a, I don't want to talk, you know, kind of talk through the whole Tulsa massacre.
Right.
Really, but to have such a prominent and successful bastion of African Americans just be wiped out and people not know about it is really, and it, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think I've heard in discussion really out loud to the public until almost this year. You know, I mean, it's not something that was new to me, but it's one of those things that I haven't heard publicly discussed until this last couple of years, maybe. Because I think The Watchmen has a reference to it, the TV series.
Okay.
That was predated, I think, some of the other stuff going on.
Yeah, I didn't know about it until about 3 years ago when I read Dreamland Burning. I had no idea.
Right. Yeah. So that's one. And this book is illustrated by Floyd Cooper, who, there's a picture Floyd book, Cooper. A Dance Like Starlight that I absolutely loved that he did with Christy Dempsey. So just more lovely art.
Yeah. I have one that I just got. I pre-ordered it because I wanted it so bad. I was so excited when I saw the promotion on this many months ago. It's called Crossing the Line, A Fearless Team of Brothers in the Sport That Changed Their Lives Forever by Kareem Rosser. And this is actually a book about two brothers who grew up in West Philadelphia, and they discovered a horse farm and a woman who ran a riding program that worked with kids, and they fell in love with polo. And Kareem went on to start the first all-Black National Interscholastic Polo Championship team.
Wow.
And now is he's the executive director of a not-for-profit called Work to Ride, a fundraising arm of that helps kids who otherwise would have struggles getting into horses in that way, ride, and they do polo and all sorts of other activities together. So it just looks phenomenal. I can't wait to read it. I have it right here. I'm looking at it. And
I understand.
One of those I've been waiting for, and I couldn't even wait. I had to get it right when it came. Looks excellent.
I can also say I am vegging this weekend. I am going to get J.D. Robb, who is Nora Roberts. I'm getting J.D. Robb's new Eve Dallas mystery, and I'm going to hole up under a blanket and read that book cover to cover.
All right.
That's my grand plan.
Nice. Perfect for a February weekend, right?
I'm thinking, yep.
I just started dancing at the pity party. This is a young adult graphic memoir novel, I guess, by Tyler, I want to say Feder. I'm sorry, Pernell. Yeah, it's kind of a memoir really about someone losing their mom to cancer. It sounds really dreary, but it was the cover that kind of got my attention. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to try that. And so far I'm really, really liking it. It's funny in some ways. I mean, she just pokes, jokes at certain things, and she just has all these endearing memories of her mom, and just really, really liking, reflecting on family relationships and things like that. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we all have great reading.
Yeah.
Y'all have falling over TBRs, I'm fairly certain.
Yeah. Often do before they get red.
Yeah. Yes, all of them do before they get red. Almost. All right. It was lovely being in a virtual room with you two.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And we will be back next month. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Dee Dee in the Morning with Dee Dee's weekly download from Capital Area District Libraries. This week's title is This Thing Called Life, Prince's Odyssey on and off the record by Neil Carlin. A music journalist and friend of the elusive musician offers insight into Prince's life. To download or stream this or other featured titles, visit cadl.org/Dee Dee.
Stacks 92.1.
Check out and enjoy books, movies, music, and more from your Capital Area District Libraries. Reserve items and schedule contactless pickup online or by calling your local branch. CADL also has a large collection of digital titles that can be downloaded or streamed for free with a library card. For more information about the current services being offered by Capital Area District Libraries, visit CADL.org. That's CADL.org.